The Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Clapp for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is a fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Clapp. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Clapp.
And welcome to the HOD Hour. Sorry, I didn't know there was going to be an echo. But it's not me repeating myself. This is Stan Clapp from the Hebrew Order of David, and we're talking tonight. Of course, in an hour or two, we'll know our fate as to when the lockdown will be lifted or how it will be lifted or what's going to be happening from there. But in the meantime, being locked up, I guess everyone is looking for something to do. And tonight, we're privileged to have with us two yoga, I guess you would call them masters. That's Stacey Cohen and Candace Davies, and also Natalie Solomon has joined us, and she's always assists us with putting the shows together. She's a doctor of psychology. But tonight we're going to talk yoga, and welcome, ladies, to the show. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So I know very little about yoga, except to know that it's almost like life. You keep getting yourself in difficult positions, and then you're unable to move from there, so you have to plan your next move. So Candace, just tell us a little bit about the background to yoga and what it means, and then we'll talk to Stacey and see if she's got the same opinion or if we're talking about different things, different types of yoga.
Sure, no problem. So Stan, I think the first thing is that in the West, we've got this idea that yoga is a set of physical exercises that we do. And like you even alluded to in a joke, many people think yoga is about putting your body into all kinds of funny positions like pretzels or standing on your head or doing all these fancy things with your body. And in some way that is correct. But I think if I had to try explain to someone that doesn't know much about yoga, where I would start is to explain that yoga isn't really something we do. So in the West, we use yoga as this thing that we do. We do this set of physical postures, and that is doing yoga. And my understanding and how I've been taught and from things that I've learned, yoga isn't something we do. Yoga is a state that we are trying to work towards attaining. So it's kind of like a path that we are walking towards or journeying towards to get to a state of yoga. And what that means is that a state of yoga, so in Sanskrit, yoga means to yoke or to join or to connect. And what are we trying to connect? So we're trying to connect mind, body, and soul within ourselves. We're trying to work on all the parts that make us us, to really have like a kind of fluid dialogue between all the parts of us that make us us. And then also we're working on the connection that we have with ourself in relation to the world we live in and people we're in relationships to. So it's this state within ourselves and a state of the self with the other. And depending on how you've been taught or which kind of pathway you follow, there are various theories about how we get to the state. And Patanjali, a Hindu sage, wrote about the eight paths of yoga, one of which, so the one way we attain the state, is to practice these physical postures or asanas.
They're called poses or what? Poses.
Yes, exactly. So in Sanskrit, the word asana means a comfortable seat or a posture. And so if you've ever been to a yoga class, or hopefully after tonight, many people will want to explore it, but you'll hear that the teachers refer to all the poses. So for example, Tadasana, Malasana, you can hear all the poses end in asana, which means posture. So,
okay, so before we get too deeply into the poses, Stacey, you want to chip in and give your point of view, or do you concur?
Yeah, well, Candace has said it absolutely brilliantly. So not to repeat what Candice has just mentioned, as far as yoga, maybe I could talk about the different styles of yoga, different forms of yoga that there are, which also all lead to that higher state which you want to get to, which is the union of your, which is yoga, union of mind, body, and soul connect. So yoga could be for yourself. Maybe one person wants yoga. They want the physical benefit of it, where another person is, their aim is to get to that higher state. Another person, it could be their form of yoga could just be a meditative yoga. So there are different types of yoga where you can take yoga just into, say, a restorative class, which is a lot of meditation where you've got to find stillness in within yourself, where you're holding the asanas, as Candice mentioned. So you're holding poses for a long period of time, gentle poses. So nothing too strenuous on the body, but just bringing you to a nice state of calm in your mind, which could bring you to that state of mind which you want to get to. Then there's other forms of yoga. Obviously, there's that Bikram, which is so well known, which is done in a heated studio where you follow 26 postures, you know, very hot studio, which is quite physically challenging. But it's also, there's a large part of it is a mind's part of that, because you have to find that stillness within yourself to hold those postures, the asanas, for a long period of time. Then you might get a different form of yoga, which is vinyasa yoga, vinyasa flow, which is quite aerobic. And some people might want, yogis might just want more of the benefit of the physical part of it. But then still at the end of the class, we have what's called your shavasana, which is your relaxation at the end of every yoga class, which will bring you to that nice state of mind where you have that sense of relaxation.
When you, as you know, after you've untangled yourself.
After you've untangled yourself and physically really worked your body. So there are so many different aspects of yoga. You know, a lot of people are, you know, there is the Western way of yoga where there's a lot of the physical part of it today. But if you go back, you know, many, many years, yoga was not so much about just the physical benefit. It's become more so westernized in that way, which is, it's not a bad thing because you can get the benefit of it both ways. You know, so there's so many different paths of yoga.
So, okay, so before we get into too technical things, so I'm a complete beginner. I don't know what I'm doing. I pitch up for my first class. I've got my towel and my yoga outfit and I roll it out on the floor and now I'm going to, and I'm lie down and the next thing you've got my head behind my ear and my toes are curling and where do we go from beginning to the state of calm you're talking about?
Well, could we ask before, is there anybody for whom yoga is not, anybody who should not do yoga? Or is yoga for everyone?
Well, Candice can chip in, but I would say yoga is for everyone. I mean, as far as my experience as a teacher, and I'm still, in yoga terms, very new to this teaching. I'm learning still every single day. But I have a lot of beginners who, people have never done yoga before, and they said, you know, I need to just find some peace and quiet within myself and myself on the mat and just get myself a nice little stretch. There'll be yoga classes in every studio, or whether you work with an individual yoga teacher who will cater it specifically for you, or the classes that are catered in studios that are specifically for beginners. So you won't be taken into any advanced yoga saunas. They also won't maybe mention too many Sanskrit terms. So you'll be able to understand when they say plant your foot there, you'll plant your foot there.
In this process, this is not a 6 month or a 12 month program. This is like a lifetime of dedication to this. You're not just going to take it up and then, you know, a few months later, unless it's not for you, you're going to go on a path which hopefully you'll be able to get to a high standard, and it'll give you that inner, and I guess, you know, it'll help your body and, it'll help you in your state of mind. So it's something that you've got to really engage in.
Yes, it's a learning process with yoga, also learning within yourself. So there's a lot of stuff. Candice can give her input, probably also more so than me. But as far as learning from yourself, you have to challenge your body maybe in some ways that you haven't challenged yourself. So maybe even if it's a beginner class and you put in into a certain asana and pose, you're taking yourself out of something that you do in your norm. You know, say for child's pose, which is a very beginner yoga pose, it's a resting pose, but it's still an asana. And all of a sudden you're told to put your forehead down on the ground, have your knees out to the side, get your glutes towards your heels. And you'll be like, well, what am I doing? You're taken out of your comfort zone. But as you go through your yoga journey, these poses start to become something that you're more familiarized with. And you'll
Are these daily things that you do, or is it weekly, or how does it work?
Well, Candace can give more of an input, but sure. me as myself, I give for myself, it's a daily thing.
Yeah, so I think...
And a person who comes to your classes, one of your pupils or students, well, I don't know what you call a student yoga or yogi or what are they, what is that? Are they making commitment to join you once a week, once a month, once a day? Or do you give them homework and they come back the next time?
So I think if I can just, before I answer that, Stan, but just to get back to what Natalie asked, I love the idea that yoga is for everybody, but I think the way that I teach at my studio is that not every pose is for everybody. So if you've got high blood pressure or low blood pressure, certain poses will, trigger that. So not every posture is good for every single body. Although, like Stacey is saying, if you start understanding that there are many forms of yoga and also taking into account your personality. So if it's very difficult for you, like so many people tell me, I can't do yoga, like I'm ADHD and I just can't be that still, you know. So we're not going to start that person off with a practice like yin yoga, or which is kind of poses held for many minutes at a time, because it's too difficult for them. Their minds can't be still yet. So you've got to take into account your personality, what style of yoga talks to you. And then the reason you start yoga may not be the reason that you stick around. So maybe you start to enjoy the benefit of learning how to become still, learning how to be in your body, listening to your body. It becomes easier to hang out in your own mind. Then maybe a few months down the line, you're ready to try a class that's quieter, or it invites you to be more in yourself. So you're asking about how often people practice. I just kind of start where people are. You know, if I could, I think everyone should be at yoga every single day, but across different styles and different classes, not only doing like Bikram yoga every single day or vinyasa every single day, really exploring all the different forms of yoga, meditating, self-reflection, asana practice, all the different, like we said, all those pathways. But most people aren't there when they begin. They don't want to do it every day. Like Stacey said, like some people are just coming in the beginning because their friend said they should try yoga, or so they've hurt their shoulder. Now they think yoga's rehabilitation, or they just want a physical workout. And that's fine. We just start where people are, and we hope that the more they learn about the practice, the more they deepen their understanding, that it's really an invitation to get to know yourself, to be curious about who you are, how your body works, how your thoughts and emotions and your sensations of your body all talk to one another. And then when they enjoy that, then what you find is you don't have to promote it. People start coming more and more on their own because they enjoy the benefit of what they're feeling. And the benefits aren't always physical. They're not that you're losing so much weight and you're getting flexible. It's not really that. It's like they're just enjoying that they feel a bit calmer, or they're feeling a little more strong in their body, or maybe they are losing a bit of weight for whatever the reason is, but they start coming back. And then you don't have to promote yoga. People fall in love with it because of the benefits of it. I think that's my opinion. Stace, what do you think?
Absolutely. I definitely see that. I see where people start, and even where myself, when I started, I actually walked into one of the hardest classes. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And I thought it was just a little bit of a stretch. This was years ago. And I thought, okay, I'm going to be as bored as anything. And I'm a little bit ADD. I don't like to keep still. So I thought, how am I going to get through this? It was the most challenging, most rewarding thing I'd ever done. And I left with my friend afterwards and I said, okay, when's the next class? But then I took it back a little bit because that class was too advanced for me. And I took it a step back. Actually, I took it quite a few steps back to put myself as a beginner, which I was. And then slowly, as I kept going back to more and more classes, certain things would come up physically where I realized, oh, I can do this with my body, or no, I can't. And then, as Candace said, certain things came up emotionally within myself at the end of a lot of classes, but that nice emotional release that often came up where maybe I was just feeling absolutely exhausted. And at the end of the yoga class where you get to just lie on the mat and just be still, it started to become, just for myself, and I see it with a lot of my yogis, it starts to become something that you crave in your daily life, where you want that stillness, where you want to just be still, that benefit of that stillness, even if it's 5 minutes, I'm sure Kate will agree, where it's just a few minutes out of your entire 24-hour day where you just get to be. You don't have to be anywhere else. You don't have to. And it's only about you and your mat. It's not about what you look like in the mirror. It's not about what the person next to you looks like. It's about you on your mat in that moment. And that's it.
Tommy, is this something which is age has something to do with? So let's say older people in homes, really where they need some sort of movement in their bodies and so on. They're not looking really necessarily to get, they're past worrying about where their life is going, but they just want to get some activity in there, to do something and maybe stretch their limbs a little bit, as opposed to, the younger people who want different things out of life. Is it different stages in their lives that where it's important?
Absolutely.
No, Ken, you'd agree. I mean, there's chair yoga, which I do with a few of my seniors, where you're sitting on the chair the entire time, just bringing a little bit of movement. And it's amazing. I could see the difference when I work one-on-one with a few of my senior yogis. They'll walk in feeling very down, don't really want to move. And just from even 20 to 30 minutes of just moving the body, sitting on a chair, obviously there's restrictions. It's, can't touch toes. It's not about how far you go in yoga. It's about where you want to go. So it makes no difference if you can't reach your toes or not. So
I've got a better chance. I've got a better chance sitting in a chair to touch my toes than standing up.
And for kids?
Yeah.
Is yoga?
You can give your input for kids.
So I think, again, like the way you're going to teach some of the concepts, will be age appropriate. So with kids, I always think about what are the things that yoga have given me? And I think that part of it is really learning to just like slow down and be mindful. So when you're moving, even the word vinyasa, means with conscious placement. So you are conscious and mindful about where you're putting your body on the mat, which body part you're moving, where you feel the activation of each asana, and not worrying aesthetically what it looks like. I always tell my students, we're not here to make pretty shapes. We're here to worry about how this feels in our bodies. So where's the activation here? Are you feeling it in your inner thighs? Are you engaging your whatever, your glutes or whatever? Where are you feeling it? So with children, I feel that some of the concepts that are absolutely invaluable are about mindfulness. It's about breathing. So much of the exercises that kids are doing on their mats are about, from a young age, being conscious of how their breath is like a superpower, like how your breath can help calm you down. And if you learn to breathe, and if you learn how to link your breathing with some of your thoughts, that you can think about what you're about to do. So, I know many adults that in the adults in my classes or in Stacey's classes or in studios or whatever, find the benefit sometimes of just the talking that the teacher's doing, so actually explaining if we slow down the breath, do you notice a difference on your emotional state, you know? And for adults, it's like the first time someone's actually explained to them how breath work is linked to your emotional state. So
yeah.
For kids, I mean, I feel like, I think I found yoga not when I was very young, but, you know, in my early 20s. And now these days, gosh, kids are finding it. They're doing it at like my son's play school. They're 4 years old. And I think these kids are, gosh, they are at the most unbelievable benefit if they can grow up being aware of mindfulness and consciousness and breath work and physical movement, you know, and how all those things are interrelated. I mean, you're going to have a generation of like conscious beings, which is ideally what I think, I hope we're all working towards.
So at four years old, are you, if you're able to get a 4 year old to sit still for a few minutes, I think you've achieved more than any other class. let me just interrupt you, sorry, for a moment. This is the Hebrew Order of David. It's the HID Hour. We're talking to Candace Davies and, Stacey Cohen, lost my train of thought. We've also got Natalie Salomon in the conversation. And, what I really wanted to, why does it relate to the moment? Because we're all in lockdown. We all understand what it is to, you know, we've got boredom, suppose is part of it, but I think people want something else that they could do. And, I was hoping that we could, so you mentioned a couple of things here, which I think are quite important. One of them is breathing. And I think, you know, this is a virus which affects the breathing. Do you think that, having done yoga, it would benefit you in the circumstances?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, like obviously I'm not an expert on, the coronavirus and how that's impacting on lung capacity and whatnot. But what I can tell you is that when you begin to practice yoga, so like Stan, you were saying, you're a total beginner, you've never done yoga before, which many people that come to classes or studios, you know, they've never done yoga before. And so a lot of the asana practice is at first about teaching the person what the pose looks like, where they should feel it in their body, and then progressing to linking how they're moving with their breath. So when you inhale, you raise the leg. As you exhale, bring the leg forward. And as you begin to practice, you begin, and as you know, if you're coming more frequently and you're getting more into it, you really learn to synchronize breath with movement. And what increases is your lung capacity. And I've seen this with people that when they first come to classes and you maybe in the beginning doing a breathing exercise, they can't inhale for longer than 3 counts. And a couple weeks or months down the line, even a few years down the line, they can inhale to the count of about 9 or 10 and exhale for about 11 or 12. So your lung capacity increases. And I know that from personal experience. When I began yoga, I couldn't inhale for longer than 3 counts. And now in certain breathing exercises, I find the teachers are counting too quickly and I'm needing to inhale for even longer. So it absolutely increases lung capacity to synchronize your movement with breath. There's a specific kind of breath that we use in movement, which is to seal the lips and breathe through the nose. And that teaches you that, you know, you can also use your breath to help you with very intense feelings, emotional feelings or physical feelings. So your impulse control, you know, you're working on impulse control as well. Stace, your
does it benefit sports people?
Oh yes, Ken, I'm sure you've seen it as well with some of, I've got a few private clients who come to me who are very physically active runners, a couple of runners who have said that as they've combined yoga with their running, they find that while they're running, they're not short of breath. They find, as Candace said, their lung capacity is a lot greater, so they don't find they're huffing and puffing. I've got a few clients or yogis who've come to me who've just started running and just started yoga. And they said that the two combined together, they said that their yoga has helped their running. Their running has helped their yoga. You know, so I've got one lady who comes to me quite often and she said that she she tends to find that she's very short of breath. And as soon as she checks in with her breath, she listens to my voice from what I've taught her in classes and what she's using in her own practice. She starts to breathe properly while she's running. And she said that helps her so much. And she said the yoga has also taken her while she's running to get to a place in her mind while she's even running.
Yeah. So most of us take breathing for granted. I mean, just wake up in the morning.
Exactly.
Hopefully you're still breathing.
Exactly. And especially now, like with what's going on, we all need to just take a breath, right, Ken and Nat? I'm sure you'd agree. Mm. We need to just wake up in the morning and just take a breath. Just check in with our bodies and just being grateful that we can breathe. We take a breath and then deal with the now. And as yoga is being present and mindful. So taking, you know, not worrying about so much, okay, what's tomorrow going to bring? What is the moment now going to bring? Take your breath and then be in the present moment and deal with the task at hand, if it is your yoga practice or taking it into the rest of your day and your life.
Yeah. There's also a lot of research on the use of yoga in trauma work, which has become incredibly interesting, and talking about using the body as the portal to find regulation and to connect with parts that are not always verbalized. Mm-hmm. Have you found?
Well, they always say you should take a deep breath, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, well, Nat, you know, the thing, and you would probably know much more about this than me, but I'll just give you my own observation. So, I do think sometimes traumas are very difficult to speak about. Like some traumas are very difficult to verbalize, and some people, in fact, you know, many people will tell you a factor that prevents them from seeking out professional help is because they actually don't want to speak about the trauma. So I find that sometimes when people come to yoga, they can describe yoga as having a therapeutic benefit, and they're not entirely sure why. They don't know why. And my own observations, I mean, I've got a bit of a training in psychology and clinical social work. So these are my own observations. And the thing that I think is that the yoga works from the inside out. So you don't know it. You come to the mat. You maybe have very little body awareness. You don't really know about your own body. You don't really know how your trauma, and this is not even people that have had, identifiable traumas. I'm speaking just about like being alive, just being human, you know.
Right.
Many of us don't really know how our bodies speak to our minds, how our thoughts relate to our bodies, how our thoughts and feelings relate to our breath. We're not conscious of this. So we come to the mat, and now these yoga teachers are talking about all these weird things like inhaling and exhaling and being aware of where your head's gone. And, you know, people in the beginning are a little bit disorientated. They don't really understand it all. And but if they come back and without knowing it, what they are learning is how to link your breath with your internal state, your feeling state, your body, right? Mm. And so I find that a lot of the trauma, and maybe the teachers, you know, if you're lucky and you're going to studios or teachers that are reading a lot and are very, very aware of like psychological components or emotional components, you're hearing things that are assisting you in starting to kind of break down where that trauma is being held inside of you.
Yeah.
So if we go back for a moment to the present situation for people sitting at home in lockdown, at the end of the show, we'll give an opportunity for each of you to talk about your practice and, you know, how they can, I'm sure you're running online courses, et cetera. But just to take a step now from today to now to tomorrow morning, people are listening to the show and they can think, well, this sounds like a great idea. I don't have a mat, but I'll take my bathroom towel, sit on the floor. And, what are the first steps? How would we get into this? And then, if you know, what other resources are available, like Zoom meetings and things like that, like for beginners and so on. I'm sure Most of you are doing online courses with your, you know, present group of students. But just for people who really want to get going from the beginning, and you know, pass an hour of the day, or I don't know how long yoga takes, but probably takes an hour to get into the position, another hour to extricate. I'm a bit worried about it because I might have to call somebody to help me out.
We start slow. So, you know what, can I just say before the actual resource thing? So in terms of beginners, and I really say this to everybody I can talk to about yoga, that there are two things that I hear so often from people. They'll say, no, I can't do yoga because I'm not flexible. And I always say, no, that's exactly why you should do yoga. Because it's like saying, I don't know how to swim, so I can't go for swimming lessons. You don't have to be flexible. Yoga is not about being flexible. So if you're listening to this show and thinking, oh, it sounds good, but I'm not flexible, I can't do yoga. The only thing that has to be flexible is your mind. You've just got to come in with an open mind, knowing that your body will guide you around your practice. That's it. And the other thing is that people say they can't do yoga because they can't sit still and it's too, you know, they can't be in their own minds. And to that, I say again, that's exactly why you should do yoga, because I think this lockdown, you can't run away from yourself your whole life. You know, and you spend the most time in your own head. You spend the most time in your own head. So you've got to make sure that's a nice place to be in. So yoga assists with that. It helps you to meet yourself sometimes for the very first time and be curious about who you are, what you're doing on this planet. Are you happy? Are you joyful? Are you suffering? Are you struggling? And if you are, why? And how can you help?
Right, to try and take the positive out. By the way, one of the reasons why I've always refused the nitrate is because I know I can get down there, but I'll never get up.
How do you know if somebody's an accredited? I mean, can anybody teach yoga? How do you discern between this is somebody I should go to or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got to be very careful, Ken. I'm sure you'll also agree with me. So not all teachers, you know, there are plenty of people out there saying, you know, maybe in the fitness industry and saying, I'm yoga trained. Yes, maybe to physically move your body, but the yoga that we've been talking about, where it's the mind-body connects, you do need to be trained. You do need to have a yoga teacher who knows what they're doing, right, Ken? I mean, you would agree with me.
Yeah.
So you do need to be careful. And then also, as far as the physical part of it, also, if you're going to somebody who isn't trained, they could put you in a series of postures, maybe poses that you're really not ready for, and you can injure yourself physically. So you do need to make sure that you are going to a teacher that has got the, you know, yoga training behind
them. How would you know? What would you ask for?
So you'd ask to, if you really were serious about it, you'd ask to see their certificate. You would want to know where they did their training and with whom and how long have they been teaching for and what is their philosophy about mind, body and or physical practice and, you know, so you really, it's like hairdressers, you know, some people have really good ones and some really bad ones. You just want to have a really good one.
Also, Ken, I'm sure you would agree, it's a very personal thing because one person might love a yoga teacher and they might not be for the next person.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to connect to your yoga teacher. Mm. It's a very important thing. You have to trust in your yoga teacher. You have to enjoy that moment on the mat with your yoga teacher. You know, so that's also a very personal thing. What works for one person might not work for the other person as far as teachers. It's the same thing like a hairdresser.
I see it with many people, you know, they find the one teacher they like and then that's it. They're not willing to try anything else. And I always say to people, just don't be so attached to your yoga teacher, you know, because life happens. And what happens if your yoga teacher is sick one night and then someone else is subbing for them? You know, I hear what you're saying. You know, you've got to find a person, a place where you trust. You trust in them.
The trust. Yes.
But we also work at not being so attached to things and working with flexibility that, you know, life happens and we can go with the flow. And that, again, is something that our practice teaches us. But you raise a good point, Natalie. You know, and that is that, you know, they're like yoga studios and teachers mushrooming all over the place, and you've just got to be informed that you are going to someone who is certified to teach.
Natalie, it's like people who apply for jobs and they say they're computer literate. So basically all they can do is type a letter on Word or send an email.
What I also love is how descriptive the poses, the names of the poses are, and how it links with nature in terms of like the pigeon pose and the dolphin pose and the puppy pose. There's something so beautiful in the way it almost feels like you're playing, and there's the pretend element.
And you know, Nat, when you know a bit of the mythology around the asanas, it is even more delightful when you practice to know why, for example, Anjaneyasana, which is like a low lunge with the arms swept up towards the sky, which I only learned recently, was because Anjaney thought the sun was a mango and he absolutely loved mangoes. And so he was devoting himself up to the mango, reaching up towards the sun. And so when we practice that, you know, it's to be thinking about, as your arms sweep up to the sky, what are you devoted to in your life? Like Anjaneya was devoted to the mango, you know. It's there is so much like mythology, and it's all about, like I said at the beginning of the talk, is that it's not just about working on ourselves. It's also about our connection to the world, to nature, you know, tree pose, pigeon pose. That you are not just one person on this planet. You, your actions, your words, your thoughts affect those around you. You impact on people and nature around you, to be mindful of who you are in relation to others.
How come all of these things like yoga, if you've got karate and all these that come from the East, what is the, is it all these philosophies that come out of the East that somehow found themselves in the West and we start to identify with them?
Yeah,
I think there's something quite spiritual, you know, there's something really profound and deep about these Eastern practices that are quite rich in terms of what they can offer us. And I think that's why they spread to the West, because I think fundamentally whatever you want to think about it, but just we are all human beings on this planet and we're all limping through life, you know, just hoping to find a few souls to limp through with and hope they are nice ones. and maybe that's why we all relate to this kind of philosophy. It's because, you know, some of us are seekers and some of us want to know and deepen our spirituality and however you find it. But I think that's why many people relate to the philosophies.
Yes, because, I mean, if you look at what they do, I mean, aside from the eating habits, which we know well about, but as far as everything else is concerned, they seem to generally have these long philosophies that have evolved over so many years. And it's, you know, I guess you think of yoga, well, it's just, as we started off saying, you know, sitting and stretching and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, other activities like gyms and so on that you go to in the Western world don't have any philosophy. It's just a matter of getting out there, building up a sweat and going home.
Exactly. And yoga's been around for such a long period of time. You know, there are all these new fads, gym things that have come and gone over years. Yoga's stuck. Yoga's been here forever, you know, so there's a reason why.
I think there's always the danger of what they call Mac mindfulness is the westernization in there of some of these concepts, and that in some ways we make them takeaways and fast food them, that we almost use the depth and
the
meaning.
Totally. That's what they asked Mahatma Gandhi one day what he thought of Western civilization. He said he thought it would be a good idea.
Yes, I love it. I love it. And you know, Nat, you make such a good point, because I think partly what we bring to the mat, like I always say to people, is if you are willing to just hang around for a bit and be curious, we'll see that who you are on your mat is who you are in your life. Mm. And so actually people are like incredibly impatient. They don't understand. Mm. They've been doing yoga for 2 weeks and they no further down to their toes.
Exactly.
But it's we want instant gratification.
It's just been 2 weeks. Yeah. You go, hang on, just breathe and just go with it. Just however long it takes is how long it's going to take. So we do want to speed it up. We want the takeaway. We want someone to give us the answers. We struggle, you know, people struggle with really sitting in the mess, you know, and it takes time and I don't like these feelings and it's too slow. But actually it's so vital that we develop those characteristics to help make life less painful.
And that's why there's such a place for it right now.
In the time that we've got left, let's talk a little bit about each of you. So we started off with Candace opened, and so Stacey, you tell us about your practice, what you do, how people can contact you. You're welcome to give that detail. Then we'll go to Candace, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what the Hebrew Order of David is doing in these times. But start off, Stacey, give us a background to yourself, what you do, and where we go, how we can access the training.
Okay, so for the moment, obviously because we all are at home, I'm running Zoom classes from my home, which anyone can join at any point. If someone's really a beginner, they can contact me and say, I really want to start from scratch. I don't know where to begin. I'll give them private lessons. I also run classes every day via Zoom. I do tend to see a lot more because I have, this is more of my practice, where I work in the gyms, but now because obviously I'm not able to work in the gyms, I've always taught smaller groups in my home. So now my classes, even via Zoom, are just small groups because we still want the connect. And what I found now is, there are a few people like maybe friends where they're like three friends that want the connect in their day now. So, they'll know, okay, 9 o'clock is yoga with Stacey. And it's so amazing to see the connect and chat what's going on at home and with kids and work. And then we get to our yoga practice. So I am at the moment running, obviously, classes all day or private sessions. If anyone wants to get a hold of me, I am on Facebook and Instagram, and they're welcome to message me.
Have you got a website, or you want to just give some details?
I don't have a website, so they can contact me. They can send me a private message on Facebook. I'm under Stacey Rifter Cohen, or I am on Instagram as Survivor Stacey 1234. So they can send me a private message there. They're welcome to contact me there. I'm checking my messages there all the time if they want to set up a private session or if they want to join any group classes, want to ask any questions about the way I teach or anything, they're welcome to contact me there.
Great. Candace, do you want to give us something about you?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. So I have a yoga studio called Mind Body Connect, a physical studio in Cromerville, which obviously has had to close. And so I transitioned my entire studio online, www.mbcstudiojosie, that's with a Z.
Mind Body Connect, MBC.
mbcstudiojosie.com, and we've got a whole lot of ways people can access stuff. So on my website, people can buy pre-recorded classes. They can also contact me. We're also doing Zoom classes. I specifically run 2 beginner classes a week. And we have a Facebook page, Mind Body Connect. I have a Facebook group. We give away free classes on that group. So there are many platforms people can access our studio. And they're also welcome to search for me on Facebook and get hold of me there. And yeah, I think the world needs yoga. I think people need yoga. I think we all need to slow down, learn how to breathe, learn how to be with ourselves, learn how to connect with people in a real and meaningful way. And I think any yoga teacher, and I absolutely know Stace will agree with us, we just want to help people find this practice. It's so beautiful and it can be transformative for people.
Absolutely.
Well, I have to say that both of you are very articulate, and thank you very much for taking
thank
the time.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And it's been actually an absolute pleasure. And Natalie, thanks for setting up the show. Natalie's a doctor of psychology, Natalie Solomon. So Natalie, you want to give yourself a little bit of a punt?
I really enjoyed the space and enjoyed time to really think about a really powerful practice, which certainly has been transformative in my own life. And I use it, I refer many, many of my clients to the practice.
And that these ladies tell me you're an excellent student of yoga.
Yes, she is.
Okay, no more comment. Okay, so.
I remain a beginner for many years.
unfortunately, we've come to the end of this discussion. I just want to tell you a little bit about what's going on from the point of view of assisting those in need. So we work with the Union of Jewish Women a lot. Unfortunately, we were going to have a bingo evening almost on the night that Cyril Ramaphosa decided to lock us down. So we had to cancel. We will be bringing it back sometime. We raise money to assist Kosher Mobile Meals. But the Union of Jewish Women is conducting a lot of activity in the townships and around, because people are really in trouble, and including the elderly in the Jewish community. And the only organization that will deliver cooked food, it helps those in need. The Hebrew Order of David has made a donation to that organization to try to assist them. And if anybody wants to donate and bring something to it, you can donate directly to the Union of Jewish Women, or you can donate to the Hebrew Order of David. Just contact us. You can send an email to admin@hodavid.org. And I'll definitely respond to you and send you the connection to the bank details and so on. So that's admin@hodavid.org. And we're going to see in an hour's time, I guess, that Cyril Ramaphosa is going to tell us the good news or the bad news or whatever it is. Personally, I'm quite enjoying staying at home and not being disturbed at work and so on. But I know people out there want to get back to their practices, to their studios, to their work, to their factories and so on. So I hope that it will be a phased in which will make sense. And thank you again, ladies, for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've learned a lot. Now it's got to be able to just get off this chair and, take a deep breath and have supper. So one thing that has happened during this lockdown is I'm sure other people are, we're having regular meals, but they seem to merge one into the other. So breakfast becomes tea becomes lunch and so on. So I think you need a little bit of exercise to kind of, to balance it out. But thank you again, and wish everybody a good Shabbos and really good night. And, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.